Our good friend Rabbi Shalom Hammer is with us live via telephone. He is founder of Gila's Way, which has made a commitment to save lives. They recognize that mental health is a journey, and very often a very long and difficult journey, and they're there to help people get through very difficult situations. He has shared in many forums the father's perspective of losing a child to suicide. And I would only imagine that now, during these times in Israel, Gila's Way has had to step up their already accelerated activities in order to help more and more people who are trying to cope with these precarious times. Rabbi Shalom Hammer, it is a pleasure to welcome you back to JM in the AM.
Likewise, Rav Nachum, nice to speak with you. Thank you for hosting me.
Pleasure. You've described to us, and plenty of people in this audience are already aware of the incredible work that you and your organization are doing, and really turning a tremendous negative into an incredible positive, the way you're there to be at the side of those who are going through these difficult journeys. How have your efforts been affected by the last 8 months? Because in general, it feels to us who have been privileged to visit Israel, and I think it feels the same to those who are here on this side of the world but are in tune with what's going on in Israel. It seems that it is an even much more tense and stressful situation than usual. How has all of this affected your activities?
Yeah, that's an excellent and very pertinent question. I want to start off by saying it's interesting when you introduced me and when you introduced this segment of the program, you said that so many of us here, and you're referring to people in the United States, don't really understand or can't comprehend what's going on in Israel. And I think that that's so important to say, even though it might seem obvious to some people, to many it is not. And what I mean by that is that people just, you know, and I completely understand that. And there's no question that the Jewish community and the communities in the United States and the diaspora are extremely concerned and extremely helpful and want to very much demonstrate compassion, empathy, and helpfulness to Israel. There's no question about that. But there's also no question that when you're not living there, when you're not experiencing it on a daily basis, there's no way for anyone to comprehend or to understand. And it's no one's fault. It's just a fact.
A reality.
Yeah. And what I mean by that is that people, you know, just don't understand the trauma that's involved with regards to living in Israel and experiencing war. Number one, the fear of losing one's life. The fact that the Jewish community is so small and intertwined, especially the community in Israel, that inevitably everyone knows someone. So everyone knows someone who has either, Rahmana Litzlan, lost their lives, or they know someone who knows another family or a relative or a colleague at work. Inevitably, everyone is affected. And what we have to recognize is, firstly, with regards to trauma, I just saw a recent study actually in Israel whereby they revealed that trauma also surfaces not only to those who are directly affected, i.e. loss in a family or, you know, migrating from one place to another, but even people just living under those circumstances, watching the news, hearing about threats, knowing that things are not easy, you know, everything is tenuous. Those are very, very traumatic experiences that people have, and they're absolutely affected. And so what happens as a result of that is that a lot of trauma, number one, surfaces, and a lot of trauma will surface, meaning it will continue to fester for a very long time. We have not even scratched the surface of what's going to emerge, unfortunately, especially with regards to adolescents, young people. One of the things that I often explain to people is that there's something called triggers in psychology, where particularly adolescents who are very vulnerable can be triggered to react or not to react or not to converse and not to communicate. And that's eventually, you know, implodes. So one of the things that's a very big trigger is actually moving from one place to another. What people have to recognize is that the entire northern region of Israel, almost the entire northern region, certainly of the Golan, have been evacuated. And it's now over 8 months. And the projection is that it's going to be over a year at least that they will not be living in their homes. People are living in small hotel rooms, in small confines. Kids have been removed from their friends, from their communities, from their schools, from their comfort zones, their youth organizations. And that's very traumatizing. And so there's a lot going on. It's a very, very difficult thing.
So there are many avenues of trauma. There's the displacement, which you just mentioned. Fear of death, which is, of course, you know, anytime anybody's in a quote-unquote war zone or potentially, you know how that can play out. Losing, God forbid, a family member, which we have seen way too often, and this week in particular has been such a difficult week in Israel, all the families sitting Shiva from the episodes over the weekend in Gaza and up north. There's so many different avenues you have to deal with. You know, in a more peaceful part of the world, one might suggest that there's a limited number of ways that people can get into this type of situation. But it seems endless, frankly, because of all the different types of circumstances that people are going through in Israel.
Yeah, no question about it. And one of the things, I think, you know, there's a few things to mention here. On top of the list that you mentioned as well, is also loss of financial security.
Right.
In other words, a lot of people have, they don't financially, they're not at their jobs, or they're not, you know, their normal jobs, they're not making their normal wages. It's a very, very difficult, tenuous situation. So, look, in the end of the day, you know, you try and do as best you can. What we, for example, in Gila's Way, what we try to do is we've been emphasizing the importance of communication and just active listening. So we're in touch with something called Badra, which is an organization that has developed something called active listening. It exists here in the States as well. And it's just a line whereby people can just call and just talk. And it's not administering therapy, which we're not qualified to do. And it's not necessarily giving therapy. It's just the capacity to listen, to allow people to communicate and to really express.
How active is that line?
Oh, well, we run activities the whole time. Actually, we have a consultation line, okay, which is not a hotline. It's a consultation. So people can immediately schedule consultations with us. And that's extremely active. I mean, we get at least a few consultations every single week, whereby we're trying to help people, direct people towards the right place or to get to first base towards recovery. But as far as active listening, we run what's called sadnaot, their workshops, specifically where we'll come to communities or we'll come to centers or we'll come to, you know, youth groups. And we will run this workshop of about 3 hours of active listening, where we teach them through exercises of just the idea of listening and talking, communicating, because that diffuses a tremendous amount.
How are those programs arranged? Is that through schools or through
You know me well enough that have mouth will travel. We have 3 full-time people who work with us full-time at Gila's Way. And we're constantly, getting involved and getting out there. We have now been incorporated into what's called a Tochnit HaLeumit LeMniat HiTabdut, the National Suicide Prevention Program of Israel. Gila's Way is now recognized as an organization that administers it. So we whatever channels we can, we get out there and we're trying our best. There's a heck of a lot to do. We're not the only organization that does stuff. There's a lot out there that are trying very hard to help and to work. One of the programs that we also do is a beautiful program, which is called Reconstructing Our Roots, or Roots of Reconstruction. And what we do is we come to a group and I give a talk for about 20-30 minutes about resilience, both from a personal perspective, obviously losing our child, and then from a national one. And then we take the people who participate and we actually pot plants in planters that are used already. They repot the plants, they resoil them, they decorate the pots with messages of hope, and then we take those plants and we give them either to Miluimnikim, people on reserve duty who have come home, or to communities that have been displaced, like from the south in Otef Aza and the Gaza Strip. And it's quite something. I mean, it's very, very inspiring. And just anything that can that we can actively do to give some hope is very, very important.
Very interesting. Rabbi Shalom Hammer is with us. Gila's Way is our focus. Strange question for you. And I know that I've already asked about, you know, the stepped up circumstances because of the war. But if someone were to ask you what the mental health, I don't know, temperature or the mental health status of the Israeli people is right now, what would you say? Is there a way to give a generalization in addition to what you said earlier about all the different circumstances that people are in? Like, is it very, very different than a year ago? Is the tension palpable in the state of Israel? How would you describe it?
I would say, yes, it is different. And I'll explain to you why. In the end of the day, and I explained this with regards to mental health as well, the turning point of someone who is coping with a mental health struggle, okay, is when they become or are turning more helpless, meaning when they no longer have a purpose or a reason or a rhyme or reason to wake up in the morning, or they're no longer exhibiting a desire to do something. That something could be, by the way, 10 minutes a day. It could be an art project. It could be looking after an animal. It could be even to the extent where someone, you know, thanked Gila's Way for getting their son to shower and to brush his teeth and get ready for bed every day. Those small things are give a purpose. And what happens is that when you get into a temperament or a situation where you start to feel useless and what we would call, you know, ein simcha ka tarata svekot, when you're in a state of suffix where you just don't know and you're not sure what's going on, that becomes like a turning point or a red line. And that becomes dangerous. And what I would say is that the beginning of the war, there was a, even though obviously there was terrible trauma and shock, there was response. And the response was immediate, it was strong, and it was, you know, bombarding. And there was a feeling that, oh, okay, you know, we're knocking back, we're going to take care of this. But now, with procrastination, with frustration, with the losses of life, with the, a lot of people are wondering what's going on, yeah. What's being done? How much are we really forcing ourselves? Should we be doing this? Should we not be doing this? Are we doing this correctly? What's the tactic? What's the strategy? Throw on top of that the entire feeling of, you know, that the government itself is unstable, right? And every day this week, you know, you read about all of the threats within the Likud, and this one's going to leave the government, this one, and this one wants to be part of the war cabinet. And you just, and there's a feeling of, even within the leadership, of, you know, uncertainty. That feeling of uncertainty is not healthy. It's not good. It's known with regards to combat soldiers that the worst, and this is worldwide, the worst position that combat soldiers can be in is when they're stationary. There always has to be movement. We believe in that in Judaism as well, that in Judaism or any religion for that matter, there's no neutrality. You're either moving forward or you're moving backwards.
Right.
And when you feel neutral and you don't feel like there's momentum, that's a dangerous place to be. So I would say that right now, that seems to be the temperament of what's going on in Israel, regardless of the fact that we are an extremely resilient and strong people, and I have belief.
Yeah, what a great analysis. What a great analysis. Gila's Way, you can go to gilasway.com. I would imagine that resources are tighter than ever under the circumstances that you've just described, Rabbi Hammer. So any support that you and your organization get from around the world, I'm sure, is very much welcome these days.
Absolutely. We appreciate that.
GilasWay.com. There's a donate button at the top of the page, and we encourage people around the world to help, because as you heard, when you do help Gila's Way, you're literally helping people in Israel, both children and adults, who are going through some really difficult situations, stuff we'll never understand, no matter how many times Rabbi Hammer says it to us. It is so difficult to understand what our brothers and sisters are going through. So help them do what they're doing. Rabbi Hammer, anything else you'd like to add, sir?
Yeah, I want to say one more thing. I had a very and I hate to, I don't want to end on a negative note, so I'll end on two in typical rabbinic fashion. one is you know, you mentioned about people not understanding. I had a very uncomfortable experience. I'm here in the States lecturing, and I'll remind you know, communities that they're always open to invite us and to learn more about these programs and what we do and different perspectives. But I was sitting at a table, and a fellow who lives here in the diaspora, he said to me, "You know, we're also affected by the war. He said to me, "I normally contract a company for thousands of dollars, and when they found out about the war and that I'm Jewish, they canceled our contract, and I lost a lot of money." And I said to myself, I had to control myself, but I said to myself, well, you know, come on, give me a break. I mean, yeah, how could you, first of all, even to say that to me, and my son is in Gaza, it's just totally, you know, disrespectful, and it's total loss of perspective. And, you know, it just really, really disturbed me. Anyway, my point is, I know everyone wants to relate and everyone wants to understand and you know, demonstrate empathy and a connectedness. There's no question about it, but we need to put things in perspective and understand that we don't always understand, but that we'd like to understand, and we do the best that we can. But people really do need to appreciate what the people in Israel are going through. It just pales in comparison to the community worldwide, and it's important to adopt that perspective. Having said that, we are a people, and I'll end on a note of hope. You know, I always say, when you ask a religious person today, how you doing? So it's very hard for people to answer. So they say, "Bisharot tovot, yeshuot v'nechamot," which really doesn't mean anything. It's not responding to the question, right? It's like completely. But my point is, "Bisharot tovot" is what comes first, right? There's, we always want to have good tidings, and Emir Tashem Tzahal will prevail. And it's terrible, terribly tragic that it's at a price, but Emir Tashem will do that. But "Yeshuot v'nechamot" is what comes afterwards, and "Nechama" is comfort. And someone who is bereaved and grieving needs comfort their whole life. It's something that never goes away from them, and they always welcome comfort. So the comfort, the nechama, that the Jewish community at large, and certainly the Jewish community in Israel, will need is going to be long-lasting and is going to be something that's certainly necessary for a long period of time. Let's remember that. Let's embrace that. And let's hope and pray and do whatever we can with that prayer to be active to certainly facilitate that nechama to come, hopefully.
And frankly, with your family's circumstances, you have a right to say it, and you have a lot of credibility, because look what you've done. You've taken the most tragic of episodes, and you've turned it around into something that has helped so many people get through some very difficult circumstances. And just like you have done it with your own family, as you just indicated, we're hoping, please God, that the Jewish people will experience that going forward as well.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rav Nachum. Thank you.
Rabbi Shalom Hammer, the founder of Gila's Way. Worth supporting. A lot of people in our audience. Oh, you know what, Avrami? Let's put it on our Israel support page as well, please, on the Chesed page, the Israel Chesed page. Worth supporting. If you want an effort that has a proven track record in terms of helping people in really difficult circumstances, go to gilasway.com. Click on the donate button. And again, I am humbled by the fact that every time we make a recommendation to this audience, they take it very seriously in terms of who to support and what's worthwhile. More coming up. It's Thursday, JM the AM.